This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Doc, I'm from the future. I came here in a time machine that you invented. Now, I need your help to get back to the year 1985.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott!
But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by.
Marty, I'm sorry. But the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
BFM 89.9, it's 7:39 and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvin. And I think Marty and Doc pretty much set us up for the rest of the show, because today we are going to be talking about time travel in films, in TV, in just the things we watch.
I love time travel as a genre. It's hands down one of my favorite genre of films, and I'll take it across the board. And I think we're going to get into that, right? How you can think of time travel as being sci-fi in many ways. But I think the way it's been imagined and reimagined in pop culture has become so ubiquitous in some ways that it can be applied across the board. And I love it. I'm there for all of it.
I also love it. I want to know, like, how smart do you think we can get away with sounding on today's show? Because we should just Nolanize this.
I was going to say, if you're going to go physics, I might have to bow out. I cannot already.
No, because I want us to use words like quantum. I want us to use words like continuum and stuff like paradox. And what does it do to the time stream or whatever? Because that's why time travel movies are so interesting and exciting, right? Like, by default, they sound smart, even if they are jargon, even if they make no sense, even if the filmmakers are just making stuff up as they go along.
Flux capacitor.
It's because it has that hint of being intelligent, and I think that's what draws people in. That's what draws me in. I kind of know that the films are not smart, but you kind of feel smart watching films like that.
Watch me. I'm going to rise to the challenge and say that one of the main reasons why I watch time travel films is because of the paradox. I love the fact that you butt up against the paradox almost immediately, because you know in any given time travel sequence, there's going to be a moment where our heroes are going to have to decide whether they want to do something that could potentially affect the future. You know, maybe Biff Tannen becomes way too powerful. there are so many different ways in which this can happen. But the point is, whether it's encountering yourself, whether it's encountering your parents, your ancestors, whether it is deciding that, you know what, I'm going to be the person who invents the noodle. I'm just going to do it. That's what I've decided I'm going to try to be. There's always that moment where they have to make the decision. And I love that. One of my favorite things about time travel films is really the convention of it all. While different ones will play with the idea of science or how exactly you time travel, the things that are always going to be there is this question of ethics and paradox and just like, so, can I kill Hitler? You know, all these different things that enter the picture.
I think time travel is also quite special because the concept doesn't require that much science. Like, there is science that can inform it. There are aspects of physics and quantum mechanics that you can bring into it. But on the very basic level of it, it is actually a fairly simple idea, right? Like, what if you could go back in time? And we've seen movies don't even bother explaining how it happened, then we're still fine with it, because the idea in itself is so seductive. And I think it's fine, really, because we're not messing around with something that it's so ludicrous that it becomes okay to mess with it almost. Because it's not like we're saying, oh, electricity can help me turn invisible. Like, that feels like we know what electricity does. That's not how it works. But with time, we still know relatively little, and therefore you can get away with a lot.
And I think that's why Back to the Future is the cleanest time travel movie ever made, and why it's such a landmark film, like a pillar of the genre, right? Because in that sense, you really, really understand the rules of time travel in universe, like in the movie itself. There's a clear cause and effect. There's a clear sense of consequence. Like if you do this, then if you do X and then Y happens, or if you do this, then something else happens. And I think because of that, you really get to focus on the characters and the fun that is Doc Brown and Marty, instead of thinking about like, wait, if this happens, wouldn't that be the case? Or isn't that a plot hole? Or how would this connect? You're just like, it's the simplest form of time travel. I also think it ruined it for all the other movies, because every other movie after Back to the Future has tried to one-up Back to the Future by convoluting and complicating the rules of time travel. Then you're just focusing on like, wait, this makes no sense, or I don't understand it, and I wish I understood more, without focusing on, you know, the story and the characters and what's going on.
A lot of time travel movies are also high concept, right? You know, and that's the beauty of it. I think we're going to play a lot of clips today, and they generally have in common the fact that they are a post-it note concept kind of film. You can write it down and say, okay, man finds remote control that allows him to fast forward his day. And that's a post-it idea. Generally, the movies fall into that category. And I think it's because time travel just serves as the only, or like the solo means of complication. So because it is the main way to complicate or to enhance the plot, they can therefore get away with just having very simple concepts. And then it's almost like what if. There are a lot of what ifs involved in time travel films.
Yeah, like Edge of Tomorrow is actually a great example, right? Because on the, what is it? It's a war where aliens in robot suits are trying to wipe out humanity. But the time travel concept essentially becomes the means by which all of this happens. And so I think these kinds of simple, basically adding time travel to something allows you to take, whether it's a romantic comedy or whether it's an action adventure, and just add one layer of complication. And that's enough to turn it into something different and special.
So I have an unpopular opinion about Edge of Tomorrow. I know that people love that movie, but for me, I felt like the repetition, and because of the use of time travel, the warping back and forth, after a certain point, it got a bit boring, because it kept doing the loop again and again and again. And I think that extends to other time travel movies as well. Like if you do the loop way too many times and nothing interesting happens for a period of time, like when you're watching that movie, then it can get kind of draggy. And you kind of go like, okay, we get it. Like, let's get to the next beat. And that's how I felt about Edge of Tomorrow. And I think it's because of that effect. I know why they did it. I don't think I liked it.
I have two things to say in response to that. Firstly, I don't know if I've told you both the story of me going to watch Edge of Tomorrow in the cinemas and there being something wrong with the screener, and therefore it actually looped back at one point and started repeating, which was amazing.
That is so meta. I love it.
It was wonderful. Lydia, our colleague who I watched the movie with, leaned over and whispered to me, "Would you believe me if I told you I've seen this all before?" Which I thought was just chef's kiss. But the other thing I wanted to say is, if we're applying this concept, is Groundhog Day a time travel film?
So I was thinking exactly that, right? Because you can argue that even Edge of Tomorrow doesn't necessarily travel back in time. They just kind of loop reality. And so whether that's time travel or not, really depends on what you think time is. Wow, I got there. I'm so happy.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's since he's not traveling, then it's not a time travel movie. Like the world's traveling around him, I
guess.
Over and over again. So it is a time travel movie, like in a way.
This is the thing. It's about the nature of time, my friends. Oh. Are we passing through it? Is it passing through us? Did I get it? Am I there?
We got to Nolan very quickly.
Look, we're talking today about time travel. We are pretending that we're far smarter than we actually are. It's going to be a thing. Lean in with us. We want to hear from you, though. Do you like time travel movies? And what are your favorite TV shows as well? Of course, you can send them our way. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we have been using the word loop an awful lot, and also talking about ways in which a very simple concept can be complicated by time travel. So, assassinations, crime, at time travel, you get Looper.
So do you know what's going to happen? You done all this already? As me? I don't want to talk about time travel shit. Because if we start talking about it, then we're going to be here all day talking about it, making diagrams with straws. It doesn't matter.
When I hurt myself, it changes your body. So is what I do now change your...
My memory's cloudy. It's a cloud. Because my memories aren't really memories. They're just one possible eventuality now. And they grow clearer or cloudier as they become more or less likely. But then they get to the present moment, and they're instantly clear again. I can remember what you do after you do it, and it hurts.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Clint, now you're going to feel a little discombobulated from the chrono shift. Don't worry about it.
Wait a second. Let me ask you something. If we can do this, you know, go back in time, why don't we just find baby Thanos, you know, and...
First of all, that's horrible.
It's Thanos.
And secondly, time doesn't work that way. Changing the past doesn't change the future.
Look, we go back. We get the stones before Thanos gets them. Thanos doesn't have the stones. Problem solved.
Bingo.
That's not how it works.
Oh, that's what I heard.
Wait, but who? Who told you that?
Star Trek, Terminator, Time Cop, Time After Time.
Quantum Leap.
Wrinkle in Time, Somewhere in Time.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Basically any movie that deals with time travel.
Die Hard? No, that's not one.
This is known.
I don't know why everyone believes that, but that isn't true. Think about it. If you travel to the past, that past becomes your future. And your former present becomes the past. Which can't now be changed by your new future.
Exactly.
So Back to the Future is a bunch of bullshit.
BFM 89.9, it is 7:50 and you're listening to Popcorn Culture, or you have listened to Popcorn Culture, or you will listen to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today we're talking about time travel. And I'm so glad that we got to play that, partly because I love it. I love hearing the science bros and Avengers being science bros. But the other thing is, it opens us all the way back to the Future and where we learn the rules of time travel. Because I think... the thing about Back to the Future is that for many of us, it set in place what the general rules are supposed to be. And every subsequent film either has to follow it or has to explain why they're not following it, which is literally what that sequence does.
Did you guys hear that ominous thunder? Because I feel like it was so well timed.
It's the lightning. It's the lightning that they have to catch.
I feel like the DeLorean is going to crash through my living room right now. No, you know what Back to the Future does so well is that it simplifies it. The concept of if you go back to when your parents were kids and you mess up how they met, you will cease to exist. Everyone can understand that. And, you know, the science in Back to the Future is really fast and loose. It starts with DeLorean and ends with Doc. And so you don't need to get that. So I feel like if Back to the Future was your first introduction to time travel, you couldn't do much worse, because that really sets the rule and that the paradox that then gets addressed over and over in practically everything.
Which is why I think Avengers Endgame was so smart in the way that it circumvented the whole issue of the linear time thing, right? Because if they truly went back in that movie, if they actually went back, then it would render phases 1, 2, and 3 completely nothing, like completely meaningless. So they gave us the multiverse stuff. They pulled something out of the comics and then they went that you can do anything with time. You can meet your parents, you can meet your grandparents, you can meet people from the past, from the future. Nothing matters, because then that becomes, then your present becomes the past and the past becomes the future, like they said, which is, I mean, you have to give it to them that it's kind of genius to pull like comic book tropes and comic book concepts to make excuses for these big blockbuster movies, because then the rules don't actually matter in the movies, right?
And to explain it to you in that Mark Ruffalo tone of voice of a duh, you know, allows them to just really roll with it, because we're like, oh, I see. Okay. These are the rules that we're choosing to apply. We've been asking you basically for your favorite time travel films and shows, and even whether this is a genre that you like. So many messages. I wanted to go with this one from Bong to start us off, saying, I always get very excited before watching time travel films and I always end up with a headache. Perhaps the only time travel film that didn't give me a headache is X-Men Days of Future Past. It's a rather straightforward story, and Avengers Endgame.
I love that, because we had a discussion before on which superhero time travel clip to play. And I think we collectively agreed Days of Future Past does a better job of it, even though Avengers is the bigger, arguably bigger movie, bigger franchise and whatever. But Days of Future Past does also the thing that is so great with franchises, right? Like the bringing together of past and present versions of characters, different actors. And one of the nice things, I think anyway, with time travel, and TV manages to do this a lot more, is exactly that. You get to examine the past. You get to bring in actors that used to play a particular kind of role, and you don't even have to make up an excuse. It's time travel, man.
Also, Days of Future Past, like interestingly, like comic book movie that didn't use the comic book thing, like one of the cleanest time travel movies out there. You do something in the past, something changes in the future. Simple as that.
I wanted to go back to that point about different actors playing the same character, because that's actually a trope that I super love.
Me too.
I really enjoy watching it because you get to see them explore the quirks. And in the case of X-Men, you have two very iconic actors who we've now seen play these roles like over and over and over again. And there is a very specific pleasure to watching a younger, be-haired version like or appear in the same sequence as like Patrick Stewart. And that's one of those things that time travel films allow actors to do. They also allow them to, of course, play older and younger versions of themselves with like prosthetics and wigs. And perhaps now our expectations are a bit different because of CG. And we spoke about this in our review of Adam Project, that maybe the CG de-aging has gone too far. But in the past, with the wigs and the costumes, there's something quite cute about it.
I love the wigs and costumes. I'm not going to lie. It's so cheesily lo-fi. But when we talk about actors, we played Looper earlier, right? And it's such a great example. There was, you know, back when the movie came out, there was so much publicity given to not so much Bruce Willis stretching, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt stretching, because he talked about how he basically started shadowing Bruce Willis and mimicking him and watching his old films so that he could, you know, hold a jaw a certain way and hold his body a certain way. And they're not physically very similar actors if you look at them. So there's a lot of it's actually really fun watching that movie again and again and noticing the little ways in which Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays Bruce Willis as a younger person.
What would have been weirder for you guys if Joseph Gordon-Levitt didn't do the weird makeup on the face, or just sticking with the weird makeup? Because with the makeup, he kind of looks like Bruce Willis, so you can imagine that he ages to become a Bruce Willis type. But without, he looks nothing like Bruce Willis. And you're like, you can't look like this at 35 and then get to 45 and become Bruce Willis. Like, that's just not how it works. Like, Michael Fassbender does not become Ian McKellen.
And Days of Future Past didn't care, right? Like, they're going to roll with it.
They just went with it. Like, they look nothing alike. What's the suspension of disbelief like for you guys?
I can't. I especially with eye color. I find it very difficult to handle changing eye color in an actor that you know very well. I just kind of wish that Rian Johnson had waited till now, because I think now they could have done the face. Like, we've all seen the deep fakes. I think that it could have been done in a more convincing way. I'm also thinking of something like, not a time travel movie, but like The Irishman, where you know what Robert De Niro looks like. You know what all these people look like. It just does not work when you do this weird, like, aging, de-aging, morphing faces thing.
Gemini Man. Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. I forgot that one. I don't mind the makeup in Looper, to be honest. But I think he could have done it without, and it would have been fine. Because the body language and the way they speak, for me, is more important.
Just imagine this guy turns into that guy in about a dozen years.
Yeah, like, I don't know, he fell and hit his face or something. It could happen.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, good example.
Sure, yeah.
How does that happen?
So another thing that happens, and this is a movie that's actually referenced in the Don Cheadle hate list that started off this segment, is Bill and Ted. And that one has a lot of fun with actors playing historical characters, right? The trailer, which we're about to hear, actually lists a bunch of them at one point, and I had to cut it because I was like, okay, after Joan of Arc, we get it. But I think that goes back to the having fun with costuming, having fun with production, really, playing around with that. We'd like to hear from you. We're talking today about time travel in films and TV. We want to hear whether you like it and if you have favorites. We've got so many, which we'll come back for. You can keep them coming. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, Bill and Ted.
Now, a motion picture so grand, So magnificent and so vast, it spans 7,000 years.
No way!
Yes way!
But it starts with Bill.
I'm Bill S. Preston!
Who is Joan of Arc?
And Ted.
Noah's wife?
We are in danger of flunking most heinously tomorrow.
A force from the future.
Can we go anywhere we want at any time?
You can do anything you want.
Is putting history at their fingertips.
Let's reach out and touch someone.
They're traveling through time.
How's it going, royal ugly dudes?
Put them in the Iron Maiden.
Excellent!
Execute them.
Bogus. How's it going, dude?
Speckled, stay clear.
And they're making a big impression.
Historical babes.
Now they're home.
Buddy, get together. Remember who your buddy is.
To trash the 20th century.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
This is an odd moment for me, because I had the same moment with my father when I just turned 21, and after it, my life was never the same, so I approach it pretty nervously.
Okay. When you're ready, it's all very mysterious.
Right. Tim, my dear son, the simple fact is the men in this family have always had the ability to... This is going to sound strange. Be prepared for strangeness. Get ready for spooky time. But there's this family secret. And the secret is that the men in the family can travel in time. Well, more accurately, travel back in time. We can't travel into the future.
This is such a weird joke.
It's seriously not a joke.
BFM 89.9, it is 8:09. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin, and together we're talking about time travel today, our favourite time travel films and shows, and that one is 100% one of mine, and yet I find it so difficult to recommend. That was, of course, Bill Nighy and Donald Gleeson in About Time, Richard Curtis, and I just love that film so, so much, and it also is one that actually, all of the science that you need to know, quote unquote science, about how they travel through time was right there.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of extension. He says, go into a closet, clench your fists, and then imagine where you want to be. And really, the movie is so good that that's all you need, because this is a movie that's not at all invested. Like, it's the anti-Nolan, right? In many ways, Richard Curtis is the anti-Nolan. But it's not at all invested in explaining the science or making it anything sci-fi or futuristic. Instead, it's invested in the notion of what would you do if you had control over your own past, or rather you could choose to go back and change things knowing what you do now. And I think this movie is so special. I'm finding it difficult to talk about it without getting emotional. But I think the reason the movie works so well is that it understands the profound things that you can do if you had that kind of ability, and really leans into the real human aspect of going back, meeting someone that you wish you could meet, and all those super feels things.
I wonder if that's the reason why there are not many movies like About Time that deal with things that are more sentimental, things that are more emotional, things like family. Because I think once you open it up to that sort of thing, then it becomes very, it either becomes very heavy or it becomes very difficult to work around those fields, like quote unquote, like you said, right? So even something like The Adam Project that we just reviewed, the whole concept of him going back to see his dad, which is in the trailer, it's not a spoiler, it immediately makes the movie super sentimental and it makes you tear up while watching those scenes. And the movie is not that good. It's not that kind of a movie where you get all like, you know, feely about it. But those scenes pack a punch and they are able to deliver, you know, on the emotions, right? So I don't know if it's tougher to tackle those kinds of things or if it's because of movies like About Time that have set such a high bar and such a high standard that Hollywood doesn't make movies like that with time travel.
I actually think that it's because About Time or films like it understand what we actually value about time, in the sense that we are not all of us invested in DeLoreans or in the physics of it all or necessarily in space, which is actually where a lot of time travel is set, but which we can get to. But I think many of us are not invested in that. We like it. It's enjoyable to watch, but it's not necessarily the way in which we understand time. However, having enough time spent with loved ones, never having enough time spent with people you love before they're gone, all of those things are things that we can understand. And I think that movies like About Time, there aren't that many, but the handful that exist play on that. They play on time travel as an emotional tool, not a scientific one.
I think the best actual sci-fi films also understand that, right? Because at the core of it, even if there's, you know, a machine or some kind of physicist or, you know, some black hole that you can crawl into that takes you into the past or the future, the core of it is usually something human. I mean, there are things like the wonder of seeing the future, but at the end of the day, most of these stories tend to revolve around reconnecting with the past, saving your family, I don't know, having a conversation with someone that you never thought you'd see again. And so I think in the end, time travel as a genre exists because for us, fundamentally, we never have enough time for the things that we truly love.
I think I'm just now realizing, and I'm putting movies into different brackets, movies that have treated time travel as the core of their movie. So the science and the, like you said, the machines, the time travel itself as a gimmick versus the movies that have an emotional connection. There are some movies that we can't even mention because they would be spoilers. But those movies pack a real punch in the sense that it's always about the people in the film using the time travel and not the time travel itself. And I'm just making like mental lists as we are going. We obviously can't talk about it, but it's interesting. It's like, I don't know if that's my number one thing that breaks a time travel movie, movies that don't treat their characters properly or don't give enough importance to their characters and just give you all the mumbo jumbo about, oh, you have to go back in time and do this and that. Those movies feel a bit hollow.
Can we talk about Tomorrow War? Just for a bit,
because
I think that Tomorrow War is more or less exactly what you're talking about, in that it does a number of the things that we've discussed, right, that we want a time travel film to do. It's high concept, it's very, very basic, and that's it. And there's a fair amount of time travel, and it's all very important, and the fate of the world is at stake. So it starts there, and then after that, it starts to try and insert emotional depth that it hasn't earned. And it is exactly that problem that we're talking about, where it is so invested in its sort of high-techy time travel-iness, and it recognizes in that very faint way that, you know, people can recognize that someone else is yawning, maybe I should yawn too, that, oh, there should be emotions, and then they try and do it. And it just doesn't work.
So you mentioned high-tech and future, which got me thinking, right? Do you guys have a preference of when it comes to time travel, do you prefer the past or the future? Because as we're talking about this, I realize that I actually prefer the future. The past. My God, my mind is looping. I truly like the idea of going back to like a familiar historical future and, you know, moving things around so that the future... my goodness, what is happening to me? Going back to the past and changing the future is what I meant. And I don't know, are people sort of invested in either or?
I don't know. I don't know either. But I was actually thinking about what you said about Tomorrow War and how even if you're not invested in either one, I think there is something to be said about sometimes a movie is just so dumb and so action-packed that you can distract people with the core element, which is like big bombastic action. And I think that's what Tomorrow War, something like Tomorrow War does. Like, yes, it has the high concept of time travel. It makes you believe it's about time travel. Then it makes you believe it's about the human drama and the family, whatever, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's just big, dumb fun. And I think those movies escape being scrutinized more than they should be scrutinized because it's about like, hey, look, there are monsters and CGI and people shooting at each other.
So I am more invested in the past from a purely production standpoint. Mm. Very, very cold answer, I know, after me like going on about time. I'm recovering because I actually think it's more fun and it has a lot more, I don't know, possibility of imagination when we travel back to the past in film as compared to when films try to imagine the future. I think especially because we've been to the future so many times in film now that we understand that apparently they don't care for color. and all they want is silver and fluorescent lights, and that's the future, and that's fine. Everyone wears white and belts, and like that's okay. I kind of miss the days when it was Bill and Ted, and the concept of the future was really nebulous and trippy. But now the way we think about the future is almost so sanitized and boring that I almost always prefer it when they travel back and we get to see them, I don't know, encounter like a pharaoh.
Do you guys have like a perfect version of future through time travel? Because I prefer the future also. I actually like to see future versions when they travel to it, but I don't know if I have a perfect or a favorite version of that future. Do you have a movie that shows that?
But the future's always horrible in these movies, aren't they?
I'm going to invoke the film that we always invoke at around 8:18 and always in relation to this. Are you ready?
Please.
It is Her.
I was thinking of Her, but there's no time travel in Her, which is why I didn't bring it up.
But it's about the future, right? So if we think about the future version of the world, where we're all dressed in like warm 70s cozy clothes and everything's warm lighting.
So basically the past, but with Tekla.
That's what we want. Yeah, retro future.
What's your problem?
I feel like nothing. I already said I love the past. That's clearly where I'll go and live and hopefully not try and kill someone too important.
That's a very important note. Because you can do it by accident, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing that we've also learned from time travel.
Butterfly effect tells you that I could take a sip and someone in the next town drops dead.
Look, Butterfly Effect is a good movie, right? Like that. Like, I know a lot of people don't like it. I haven't checked like Rotten Tomatoes or anything, but I love that movie. It's a good time travel movie.
I feel like it's one of those movies that you thought was a good movie because I'm squarely there. And then as an adult, you watch it and you realize it was, I don't know, a dumpster fire.
By the way, we're getting messages that capture what we're talking about quite well in the sense that it's about emotion, because About Time is actually one of the most popular films that's come through in the messages. Sue on Instagram says About Time. Jun says About Time. Nor Aslan actually brings up a number more, saying The Time Traveler's Wife, About Time, The Lake House, Stand By Me, Doraemon 2, which is another one that's come up a few times. Simple love stories that are not convoluted with physics. I appreciate the difficulty to frame love stories in time travel. And Sarah says Your Name.
Can I just say, is Rachel McAdams just the queen of time travel movies? Because she's in About Time, Time Traveler's Wife, and Doctor Strange.
Oh, I didn't string those together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just realized.
Oh, wow.
It's her sympathetic, lovely face. I think.
And timeless face.
Exactly. You enjoy watching it through the decades. Keep those thoughts coming. We have lots of messages to come back to. I'm just going to say that while we're talking about love stories, Ling says, Outlander, an epic love story with a side of time travel.
Oh, I never watched Outlander, but I've heard so much. Like, it has such diehard fans.
It's a movie or is it a TV show?
Isn't it both?
Oh.
I think it might be. Sorry, Jun also says Predestination and the one I could never understand, Primer. A few people actually said Predestination. I don't know. We're heading down a dark path. I'm just going to warn everybody because I thought we could close off on love stories, but I realized that there are messages that are linking them. Because Munif says, Predestination was an insane time travel movie. When the credits rolled, my jaw was on the floor. As for horror and time travel, Dark from Netflix, which Shukran Anwar is also saying.
Dark is one of those that I keep wanting to watch and then keep straying away from because I'm not sure if I'm ready for it. And Predestination, I really want to.
I want to continue Dark. I watched like the first couple of episodes, didn't get into it, but a lot of people seem to love Dark a lot.
And now we're pivoting back to the feelings. But let us know, we're talking about time travel today on our Supercut and we want to hear from you. I mean, do you enjoy time travel films and shows? And do you have a favorite that you'd like to share? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we started off this section with a tearjerker about fathers and sons and time travel. So we thought we would close off with one that you also wouldn't expect to be a tearjerker, but totally is. It's Click.
Hey, 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 hey. Okay. Is this some sort of reality show? Are you the host, Morty? Where are the cameras? Got everybody in on it, huh?
Whoa, all right, America. Have your laugh. I'm an idiot.
Nobody's laughing at you, Michael. You wanted a universal remote control that remote controls your universe. Michael, just hit menu. Whoa. Oh. Ah.
Whoa. Oh, Michael, no!
What have
What is this?
All right, I love you, Michael.
Your life menu. My life as a commentary? It's chock full of goodies. Click it.
Click it.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
Now, don't take this the wrong way, but you are a Terminator, right?
Yes. Sabaton Systems Model 101.
You're really real.
I mean, you're like a machine underneath, right? But sort of alive outside.
I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
You're not here to kill me. I figured that part out for myself. So what's the deal?
My mission is to protect you.
Yeah? Who sent you?
You did. 35 years from now, you reprogrammed me to be your protector here, in this time.
This is deep.
It is deep. I love that. It is 8:24 and you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And together we're talking about time travel in movies and shows and asking you, is this something you enjoy and what are your favorites? Send it through. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And it's funny, we just got there on time because Chi on WhatsApp is like, why aren't we talking about the Terminator series? First two were the best.
Terminator is so... I don't know, it's such a great example of time travel, but I think it gets outshined by the fact that it's also about cyborgs and Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? But that idea of sending a cyborg from the future to save your past self, I mean, who thinks of this stuff up? I love it.
I love it too. And it's also, I think, the movie that made everyone afraid of the future. It's that dirty...
When you asked about the future, that's the first thing that came to mind. And I'm like, I've never wanted to live somewhere less.
Have we actually seen the future in Terminator? Like, do they show us? They show us glimpses of a Skynet.
Terminator 3, no? You get a glimpse of the future?
Can I just say, the phrase is dumpster fire. Like because everything is actually on fire in the Terminator future. It's just, that's what it looks like. And it really is just like, hey, the world is a total dumpster fire. John Connor, John Connor, John Connor, Terminator, Terminator. And then that's what gets us going. We understand the intensity of the moment.
I mean, I think the Terminator in many ways, along with Back to the Future, shaped for many people the potential and really the two halves of time travel movies, right? Because you have the grim like future that we must avoid at all costs. And then you have kind of like the fun time travel movies, the ones that get a little silly and funny with it. And I have to say, I'm really glad that unlike many other sci-fi genres, which tend to lean serious, time travel tends to be the one that actually has quite a lot of fun associated with it.
So I know there are like a bunch of answers to this question, but is the time travel element why the new Terminator movies failed, like Genesis? And I think Dark Fate didn't fail, but it wasn't like a blockbuster hit or anything, right? And Terminator 3 didn't do well. Terminator Salvation didn't do well. Is it because they abused the time travel trope, you think? Or is it because people just got bored with the same John Connor, Sarah Connor, Arnold Schwarzenegger shtick?
I actually think it's because we're getting too close to the future that was initially... No, but in all seriousness, like the world that they are describing is awfully close to ours. I mean, without the sentience and the awareness and the you know, the whole machines are rising. But how far away are we really? Think about it. But I think it's because we're getting a little too close to it and particularly a little bit too close to the tech. And so because of that, they keep having to escalate the future and the technology involved in that. But we already have enough knowledge to know whether or not that is viable or whether or not it's frightening. And so the future isn't as scary as it ought to be. I think it's something to do with that, or at least it is for me.
I think it's a lot of that. I agree. I also think that it doesn't do anything new to the underlying concept. And part of it is either they go completely new in the sense, oh, we need to keep upping the ante in terms of scary cyborgs, but they don't add anything to the underlying concept or the mythology. Meanwhile, we've seen hundreds of films that have built on these ideas and done something else.
You know what's weird though? We haven't seen a horror time travel movie yet, like Terminator. That's basically like a horror movie, right? Like the first movie is built like a slasher film. But we haven't seen characters like the Terminator, like sort of jump through time chasing after someone, which is Which is kind of weird because the franchise has been ripe for that sort of thing. Like, they can go to different places, but they always seem to stick in like 1 year or like 1 year out of the 100, that whatever, how many years the Terminators have existed. And I was just thinking it's one of the genres that has not blended with time travel itself.
I suppose with the exception of Dark, which is not a film, right? Because we were talking about that earlier. I think otherwise, though, we play a lot with dystopia, but not necessarily straight up horror. That's true.
Yeah.
We're getting a bunch of Terminator messages and actually a bunch of messages as a whole. So Nish says Terminator Salvation was set in the future. And look, I want you all to know that this message ends with an exclamation point. Look, Cyberdyne Skynet became online in 1997.
So we are already living in it. This is what I said. We just don't know it yet.
Yep.
Oh, we do. Someone knows it. We just don't know who that person is. Munif actually added on saying, funny, you should feature Click. I'm literally still at the office as a busy, busy, busy architect. This movie hits hard. No kidding.
So we didn't talk too much about Click, right? But rewatching it for the clips, not the whole movie, but just some of the clips, I realized how weird and zany the whole thing is. And that whole notion of people being aged up or aged down, this movie runs the gamut. None of it is great. All of it is great to rewatch.
I just want to say that, you know, are you really at the office? Or are you back at home? Or are you in both places at the same time? You know, that's what Click teaches us. It's all universal.
Present? Are you present? Is Christopher Walken somewhere nearby? You know, there are all these questions that need answering. We also have Lawrence chiming in with Days of Future Past, which we spoke about earlier, which is an excellent example. And then I wanted to touch on some kids stuff because that's coming in. So Anonymous says, Quantum Leap, a TV series in the 80s, loved it.
I love Quantum Leap.
Oh, my God.
Scott Bakula, I loved it so much.
Husni says, there was a pretty cool time travel TV show for kids early in the 80s called Voyager. It was both entertaining and educational. Not bad for a kids show.
I've never heard of it. I'm in fact struggling to think of children's shows that revolved around time travel. I don't think I remember a whole lot of them.
Did Johnny Quest ever go back in time? He went to like alternate universes, right? But he didn't go back in time.
I don't think so.
I
wouldn't stake my life on it.
Yeah,
Bill and Ted doesn't count as a children's movie, does it?
I mean, I watched it as a kid, but I don't think so. I did go around going totally awesome, dude, for like many weeks.
Bogus. But also, it taught us a lot, did it not, about historical figures?
In many cases, even historical figures that in Malaysia you otherwise would never have encountered.
That reminds me of Carmen Sandiego, but Carmen Sandiego went around the world.
There is where in time is Carmen Sandiego,
there is
isn't
where
there?
In time, right? So I didn't just like imagine it.
No, I'm pretty sure there is, unless we're both completely just like, you know, egging each other on. But I think there is.
I haven't seen it. Does she wear the hat?
She always wears the hat.
She does wear the hat.
Then I'm fine. Then I'll watch it. I just don't want them messing around with Carmen. Vivian sent in this delightfully bossy message, which I love so much. Talk about Tenet.
Well, we can't, you understand?
Say that backwards.
Say that backwards. Where's the hand gesture?
Well, we're on radio, so I didn't bother, but you can imagine me doing it.
I think Tenet... Okay, what can we actually say about Tenet? I'm not sure because I feel like the statute of limitations on spoilers really has not run out yet on this one. Except to say that I enjoyed the way it played with the concept of time travel, and the ways in which it did that was very specifically Nolan-y.
The concept and the visualization, right? Like the actual physical visualization of how it could look. That's something that you've never really seen any other film do. If you haven't watched it, I think it's a long film, but now you can watch it on TV. It's worth checking out.
Yeah, I still don't know what that concept is. Like the movie looks good for me, but at the risk of sounding like really dumb, I still don't understand half of what that movie is trying to do.
Like, and we had like hours long conversations, the three of us, and we still haven't unraveled it.
One of these days, I'll just roll a pen towards you and you'll get it because it's that simple. The trailer taught us that, so I know I can say it. Someday you'll just grasp it. Don't worry too much. Michael says, about time travel films, what about characters that control time? Does that count as time travel? That's another headachey concept.
Are we just talking about Doctor Strange at this point?
Yeah.
Among others, but I think that does, I think as long as there is a manipulation of time and a movement of people, it's time travel, right?
If people have been displaced in time, then it's time travel.
Or if someone reverses the entropy of an apple, then
wow,
it's time
thanks,
travel.
Man. First you say, I feel so dumb, and then you use words like entropy.
Doctor Strange is a time travel movie. That's basically it.
We have Jun on WhatsApp saying Christmas Carol is also a time travel movie, and why no more mentions of Doraemon as a time travel movie? And I believe that Jun actually sent us a tweet as well explaining the Doraemon reference. To be fair, Doraemon has come up a number of times. I forget the title now. Stand By Me, Doraemon 2, I think was brought up earlier. You guys know I take my Doraemon very seriously.
I was going to say, I bow to the expert in the group.
So Jun says, Nobita's dinosaur from 1980. Every child loves dinosaurs and dreams of owning one. Nobita hatches an egg, names the baby dinosaur Pisuke. Soon, Pisuke grows too big and Nobita has to bring him to the past. Doraemon itself is a time travel anime in which an earless blue robot cat travels to the past to improve Nobita's life. Meanwhile, other animations, Laufuzi and the Water Tiger, the official name being Older Master Cutter 2. There's also references to Outlaws of the Marsh, which I love. Then Charles Dickens is A Christmas Carol. Mickey's Christmas Carol is also another one. Jun goes on to say, we fantasize about time traveling because we think we can change the past or amaze ancient people with our technology or knowledge or change a person's future. But in Scarlet Heart, this is not the case. A modern day girl wakes up in Manchurian China and finds herself entangled in the political fight between the princes, and then goes on to explain what it is. Star Trek is another one, and Terracotta Warrior.
So I wanted to pick up on that allusion to changing the past, because it's something we haven't necessarily talked about in a historical context, right? Because that's a thing. And I'm thinking of stories like that TV show that was adapted from Stephen King that stars James Franco, 11-22-63, where basically someone attempts to go back to the past to prevent JFK from being assassinated. I think there's a real sort of excitement in messing around with those kinds of things. Do go back and kill Hitler, basically.
The one thing I want to say, though, is that sometimes, and this is why I love and I hate the internet, because you watch movies like that and then someone comes up with like a Reddit thread of all the historical inaccuracies that the movie has. And then it just takes you out of it. You're like, oh, man, you should have like...
It's only inaccurate because someone went back in time and changed stuff.
That's true.
Then it comforts me and I'm done.
Skynet went online in 1997. That felt appropriate to bring that up again. Jun also says, waiting for a Malaysian time travel movie in which the protagonist tries to stop the Sheraton move.
I knew we were waiting for that one. I knew that was coming.
I just see a lot of possibilities for how that could be shot. Like an action thriller, you know, where someone runs through a ballroom and like knocks over.
I kind of want the Tenet vibe, that the way they do it there, but happening in Sheraton ballroom.
Featuring the evolving doll.
At some point. Going back to that point about animation, TIDJ says there was a cartoon show in the late 80s or early 90s, Time Fighters, my first introduction to anime.
Oh, that sounds interesting. I've never heard of that one.
Same, never heard.
I like the idea of it also, though.
Time Fighters, though, what
right?
a name.
Yeah. I just love it when the word time makes its way into the title. Thevin just messaged. And I feel like is doing something on purpose, because Devin says, should we debate if Donnie Darko is a time travel film?
No, do not. Why did you invoke Donnie Darko? It often is brought up as a time... It's not time travel, though. It's time manipulation.
But is it?
We've opened up a Pandora's box. We have.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if we're going to be throwing around words like paradox, right, and wormholes and all the rest of it, surely it is a time travel movie.
It is. It's often categorized as one, but I think it just goes like weirder and more existential with it. And there's no travel per se.
Also, is it, I don't know if this is a spoiler, but also is it really happening? Like most of it?
There is that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, David. I hope this is what you wanted. We have another message from Munif, and also a mention of Nobita, which just a name I didn't think I would say so many times today. Nobita and the Knights of Dinosaurs. The ending will blow your mind. Such a good, good time travel movie.
Who knew About Time and Nobita were going to be the MVPs of today's show?
I don't know if it's the same story in the comics, but I remember owning the comic, and he's right. Like, the ending will, it will, it's something, lah. It's something.
We have this message from Jesper, and I'm just going to mention the ones that we haven't yet talked about. So many episodes of Power Rangers, some episodes of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Charmed, which is a good one, actually.
Oh,
I remember
yes.
A fair amount of that. Pleasantville, which is amazing.
Pleasantville is such a good film. And again, the idea of not really making a big deal about the science.
Exactly. And sometimes that works, you know, because too much of it and it goes away. Superman, Austin Powers, Deadpool 2, and then a number of comic book films as well. Doctor Strange, Justice League, a bunch of Star Trek films, Galaxy Quest, Sphere, Lost in Space, Paycheck, Christopher Nolan, who we've talked about, Paycheck. Assassin's Creed, The Time Machine, Land of the Lost, Hot Tub Time Machine, Project Almanac, and then some animations including Meet the Robinsons, Lego Movie 2, SpongeBob, Stand By Me, Doraemon, Kate and Leopold, which I just wanted to shout out because I feel like people don't know that Meg Ryan and Hugh Jackman did a movie.
Because he did it right after Wolverine and everyone was just like, what is this nonsense?
What is going on?
Yeah, what is this romantic comedy that nobody wants to watch but is somehow also addictive?
Wait, it's so that was watchable. After X-Men?
It came out after he became famous as Wolverine. So everyone's like, what's his next project? Time-traveling noble.
Time-traveling Duke, really.
Oh, Duke, yes.
Yeah, excuse you. He invents the elevator.
Can I just rant that in that list I wanted to say was mentioned Time Machine, and that will forever go down as my most anticipated film that I was dying to be adapted on screen, and then I was the most disappointed by and wanted to burn everything down.
You know what's a better movie? Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yes, 100%.
Jesper goes on to say, Somewhere in Time, If Only, Midnight in Paris, which is another great one, A Wrinkle in Time, Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel, Groundhog Day, which we debated, Palm Springs, which falls into the same category, The Map of Tiny Perfect Things, Happy Death Day, Needle in a Time Stack, I've never watched, but now very curious, The French Lieutenant's Wife, Final Girls, let's see, some of the good ones, Frequency, 12 Monkeys, Source Code, and then I think a fair amount that we mentioned, but Jesper closes with, would movies like Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan, Wizard of Oz, The Wiz, Return to Oz, and Bedknobs and Broomsticks be considered time travel?
That is very philosophical, because essentially it stops time instead of time travel, right?
So when they go to Neverland, time doesn't move and then they come back.
Well, not really, because the parents know they were missing, but... Yeah, it's like a weird, it's. I don't think it's time travel per se. I wouldn't think of it as time travel. Instead, it's almost like an alternate reality or like a slip in, you know, what's that word? A break
dimensions.
In our reality. Yeah.
Perhaps we need to draw a distinction at this late stage between time travel and time manipulation, because I think that is an important one. Lo simply says time variance authority, which I thought was That's all we can say. We have another shout for predestination, which is like neck and neck with About Time, Doraemon and Terminator, which is like, I don't know, a triple, quadruple bill that's quite unimaginable. Lee also says It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. The classic?
Why though? Interesting.
Unless I'm forgetting it because I haven't watched it in a long time. I don't think there's time travel in there. There's kind of like magic. But time travel? I don't think so.
I don't remember the time travel part either.
Unless it's in the same concept of, as Christmas Carol.
Yeah,
which I think is more along along that sense. We also have Amir on Twitter saying Blackadder goes forth.
Oh, that is amazing. Is Blackadder actually time travel?
He goes to different periods in time.
But does he go there? Isn't he just playing versions of himself in different historical settings?
Like period pieces, right?
Yeah, but he doesn't actually travel, does he? I mean, I'm not disputing that Blackadder is amazing. I'm just wondering, maybe different people just perceive it differently.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I am always happy to hear about the mention of Blackadder in anything, any show we do. So I'm pleased with it. All right, let's close off. What is a thing that you would recommend for people who are keen to just kind of play around with time travel in their spare time?
Oh, no. I'll let someone else go first while I think.
So this is not a big thing at all. I will just go back way to the start. It's the most obvious sort of recommendation. I think you should watch Back to the Future, and then you should watch Rick and Morty, because they are two very similar things, but they're also two very separate different things. And if you go watch Rick and Morty, it opens up a whole other world of rules and regulations and guidelines about what time travel is, which is so smart and so genius. So yeah, those two, like a double bill thing from me.
For me, in the same vein as I've been going throughout, which is to say I'm not that interested in the hard science, and I love it when when time travel or a loop or anything of that sort just serves as a basis for like really cool emotional storytelling. I wanted to shout out Russian Doll, because I don't think enough people talk about it or watched it. And it's amazing. It is so, so good. And I didn't know that there was a second season coming out, but it actually is in April. So now's a good time to like catch up on season one if you want to be all set up for season two. And it's just a woman dying and living a loop over and over and over again. So since we've been talking about Groundhog Day and all the rest of it, I was just reminded of that.
If you haven't watched 11-22-63, and if you can tahan seeing James Franco on screen, that's actually a really good show. The book that it's based on is excellent as well. Mm. But if you want something light and funny, but still makes a whole lot of social commentary, Idiocracy is one of my favorites. It essentially talks about a man who... basically is a blue collar worker in today's world, ends up in a, you know, in some kind of cryo chamber, and wakes up in a future where he's the smartest man in the world because the rest of humanity has devolved into being really stupid. It's very funny, but also very sharp.
And that's it from us. Or is it, or was it? Okay, how many times can I milk this joke? I think we're done. We've been talking today about time travel. We'd like to hear from you. If there are any that we didn't bring up today or that you would like to shout out, please keep them coming. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, write to us at movies@bfm.my. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.